Okay, I'd like to call the Transportation Committee meeting to order, and it is 1:05. And let the record show that Representative Lynn, Representative Gaddis, Representative Christ Tompkins, and Representative Isaacson are here, and myself, Representative Wilson. So today, well, first of all, I'd like to recognize the staff. Nancy Hemingway is our House Recording Secretary. Lori is our LIO monitor. And Becky Rooney is my committee aide. And before we start, I want to remind everybody to shut off their cell phones all the way, not just to vibrate. And we have three bills today on the agenda, and they're just in numerical order. House Bill 46, House Bill 56, and House Bill 94. So we'll start with House Bill 46, waive the CDL skill test for certain veterans. So Dan, if you would like to come forward and state your name and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, I'm Representative Dan Sadler, representing House 612. I appreciate the members of the committee hearing HB 46 today. To present the bill briefly, Alaskans who have honed their driving skills and uniform service to their country deserve to have their experience validated and respected in the civilian world. HB 46 is predicated on this belief, and the bill helps Alaska veterans get jobs and helps Alaska businesses get very qualified drivers by acknowledging that military drivers already have safe driving skills. And about more than 60,000 service members did have jobs involving truck driving in the most recent year we measured, which was FY11. Many of Alaska's industries, like construction, oil field services, tourism, require CDLs, and having that ticket is a very good step up on getting a job in our civilian economy. In 2012, the federal government passed a law that allows states to waive the road test skill for the CDL, the commercial driver's license. That is, if military drivers have recent driving experience and, of course, a clean driving record. They must still pass the vision test, the physical test, knowledge, and the TWIC requirements if they want to get that additional certification. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is encouraging states to allow these waivers. So far, as of January 9th this year, 34 other states have waived the skills test for the military veterans. 10 are working on waivers, and there's just 7, including Alaska, that do not currently accept that waiver. House Bill 46 simply directs the State Department of Administration to adopt regulations in accordance with these federal standards to allow the waivers in Alaska. In short, HB 46 means jobs for veterans and jobs for qualified drivers for Alaska businessmen. We do have testimony from DOD's state liaison from the Trucking Association of Alaska and from some folks in the tourism industry. I believe some of them may be online for testimony. But with that, I appreciate your opportunity to present and answer any questions.
Okay, and looks like Representative Isaacson has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Dan, has any of this changed since 4 out of 5 of us heard it in State Affairs?
Through the chair, Representative Isaacson, it's only gotten better.
no changes.
No,
okay, good. Thank you.
I appreciate those on the committee that have joined and support this bill.
Any other questions? Okay. Can we hear anything from the? Is there any department that wants to speak at all? No one signed up. Okay. Fine. Well, then we'll open it up to public testimony. These are. Yeah, but they're online.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Questions, Mark.
Sansouci.
from the Department of Defense.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vice Chair Isaacson's point was well taken, fellow Air Force person, and since so many of you heard me talk just a couple of days ago, I just want to express, my name is Mark Sansouci, the Department of Defense Regional Liaison for Military Families for the Northwest, expressing support for Representative Sadler's House Bill 46. The one thing that I consider most value-added, so I can keep this short, since so many of you heard me the other day, is that as Madam Chair, as for the heavy and tractor-trailer driving career field in the military, you would maybe like to know that it's in the top 10 of all occupational specialties in all of the military. It's the second highest occupation in the Army, with almost 8% of Army people skilled in this career field, and second highest in the Marines with over 5% skilled in it. A Department of Labor Occupational Network Online Partnership report forecasts that the truck driving field is one of the brightest outlook fields, with a faster-than-average job growth projected to be between 20 and 28% and over 100,000 jobs, job openings in the United States between 2010 and 2012. Representative Sadler very aptly and articulately portrayed the issue, and so I stand for questions with just offering Department of Defense support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Santucci? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much, and let the record show that Representative Johnson has joined us. Next is the Alaska Trucking Association, and Liz, would you like to pronounce your last name for us?
Can you hear me?
Now we can. We couldn't at first, but now we can.
Okay, sorry about that. It's pronounced Glushenko.
Ah, well, that's easy.
Yeah, hard to spell, easy to say.
Okay, thank you very much, and go ahead and speak.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Liz Glushenko, business manager of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 46. One of the pressing problems in our industry today is to find qualified drivers for the commercial vehicles that we use to deliver freight. As you all know, if you got it, a truck brought it. We spend a lot of time and effort recruiting and retaining good drivers. The regulatory bar has been raised in the past few years to further increase the professionalism of drivers in our industry. When someone says he or she is just a truck driver, they miss the mark completely. Truck driving is a profession that requires a great deal of in-depth knowledge of regulations as well as driving skills to navigate a large rig through our highway system. Alaska has some of the best drivers in the nation. They become outstanding drivers through training, experience, and their own enlightened self-interest, because sometimes their driving skills can very well save their own lives or the lives of others. As an industry, we welcome our returning veterans and appreciate this opportunity to do something to support them as well as to help ourselves. These men and women have had some of the best truck driving training available and will also have a good deal of recent hands-on experience driving big rigs. With proper certifications as to a veteran's experience, we support waiving the skills test for issuance of a CDL. A number of other states have similar programs for their veterans, and we should do no less for our returning veterans. On behalf of our membership, we are proud to support our veterans and to support House Bill 46 and urge that you pass this bill out of committee with due pass recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't see any questions, so thanks a lot. We appreciate
Thank you.
Your testimony. Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? Hearing none. We will go ahead then, and is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Okay, I'm going to close public testimony. And this is a fairly upfront bill, and it's a good bill, and it sounds like the need is out there. And is there any discussion from the committee at all? So do I hear a motion?
Madam Chair,
Representative Isaacson.
Thank you. I move that we pass out of the committee House Bill 46, version 28-LS0263/alpha, along with the accompanying fiscal note and with the individual recommendations attached.
Okay. Hearing no objections, so moved. So we will take a brief at ease while we sign the papers.
Thank you.
Back. in order. And next we'll have House Bill 56, the passenger vehicle rental tax. And Representative Holmes, would you please come forward and state your name and introduce your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Lindsay Holmes, representing House District 19, and with me I have James Waldo from my office. Madam Chair, I want to thank you and the members of the committee for hearing House Bill 56 today. House Bill 56 is an attempt to help support a number of our local small businesses, a number of which are trying to support the tourism industry. Back in 2003, the legislature passed a bill to impose a vehicle rental tax. And all of the discussion back in 2003 was about rental cars. And that tax has been in place for since 2003. There was never any discussion at the time about RVs, motorcycles, or other things. It appears that in 2003, they didn't realize that the definition they were using actually included those. Several years later, it came to people's attention that RVs were included. And RVs, of course, are much more expensive to rent. So when you put the same 10% tax on them, that's a really huge fight and made it uneconomic. So the legislature went in and fixed that and lowered that tax rate. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 years ago that the department, our tax division, actually realized that motorcycles were also included in this definition and went back and said, okay, we're going to start taxing these. Well, similar to RVs, motorcycles are actually a fairly expensive thing to rent. We only have a season about 3 or 4 months long in this state, and then they have to be stored the other 8 or 9 months out of the year. So they actually tend to be a lot more expensive to rent, and when you put this burden of the same rental rate, it makes them uneconomic and has made it so that this little area of economic opportunity has really been stifled, and it's been really hard to develop. Of course, when you rent a motorcycle, unlike an RV or unlike a cruise ship or a lot of things, you actually, generally speaking, stay in hotels, you eat in restaurants. So these are really something that we want to see encouraged. So the bill in front of you would eliminate the tax on the motorcycles, which we believe were never actually contemplated to be included in the tax rate. And with that, with your permission, Madam Chair, I'll turn it over and see if Mr. Waldo wants to add anything. And I'm, of course, happy to take any questions at all.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Waldo.
Chair Wilson, there is very little I can add to Representative Holmes's presentation of the bill. Perhaps just to draw out a few of the key themes here, the motorcycle rental business is fairly new in Alaska. It is a small and growing sector in our state's economy, and right now the chief problem and the chief concern of the folks in that industry trying to see it move forward is the size of this rental tax. When you talk to someone who's going to come to Alaska as part of their bucket list and go on a motorcycle trip throughout the state, and then you say on top of the expense of renting that motorcycle for 5 to 10 days, we're going to now add a few hundred dollars of tax, it makes it a much less appealing prospect. And the best thing the state of Alaska can do at this point to help foster these small Alaskan businesses would be to remove that rental tax. I would also point out that just historically speaking, I know there are a couple of you on the committee who have seen this bill in the past in a different form. It's the same as the bill you've seen in previous years. There have been no changes.
Okay, thank you. Say your name again.
I apologize, Chair Wilson. James R. Waldo, staff to Representative Lindsay Holmes.
Thank you. Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So either to the sponsor or the staff, in Section H, a motorcycle or motor-driven cycle, as those terms are defined, I don't have the statute in front of me, but does that include ATVs and snow machines and such? Are we missing a segment here that also is part of the recreational tourist rental?
Representative Isaacson, through the chair, ATVs and vehicles of that sort are already dealt with in current law, and I do not believe their rentals are taxed as a motor vehicle like a car is, or an RV, or at this point a motorcycle.
Okay. Do you know, follow up,
Representative Isaacson?
Do you know how extensive that is, that they're not covered when all other vehicles seem to be? Is that a source of revenue that should be looked at for equity's sake, or what? Do you know?
Representative Isaacson, through the chair, I do not have exact numbers on ATVs or other vehicles of that sort, and to what extent they are rented throughout the state. That is not research we had done when looking at the taxes levied on motorcycles. However, that is certainly information we could get back to you with.
All right. Thank you. And just for the record, Madam Chair, I'm not suggesting that we necessarily have to. I was first thinking whether or not it was covered, but in terms of equality of industries, you don't want to, in one sense, penalize one industry and not treat all others equally in that sense if we're so doing this. My thought. Thank you.
Representative Gaddis.
We've hit a nerve, and that being is I'm a big snow machiner and a big ATV-er, and I got to admit, not much of a motorcycle rider. With that in mind, the way I see this bill, and I would like the sponsor to correct me where I'm wrong, but this is an on-road vehicle situation, whereas we really try to go out of our way as ATV and snow machine riders not to be on the road. So if I'm hearing correctly, this is something that's licensed for the road, and so it's part of that road tax, if you will, that utilizes the same road. So I would be really challenged to have an off-road vehicle have to be put in that same category.
Do you rent your...
Absolutely not. I own them.
So...
Madam Chair, I do know people who rent snow machines, because not everybody can afford one, and they still don't ride on the road. And so that road issue and paying for highway tax and so on really should not, in my opinion, apply to a snow machine, although we do have a snow machine tax that we pay and the stickers that we pay for state parks, which are a different issue.
Well, and I do know that in different areas, snow machines go up and down our roads when there's snow all the time. So, it varies in different areas.
Madam Chair, may I speak to that? Legally, it's what I was talking about.
Madam Chair.
Representative Isaacs.
I don't know if we're out of order by discussing this when the sponsor is here, but just to let you know that I was at a safety conference with DOT, and different communities have been able to make exceptions, and so it can be legal in especially smaller rural areas.
Right.
Thank you.
And we'd like to hear from the sponsor. All right. Name?
Representatives Gaddis and Isaacs, and through the chair, James R. Waldo, staff to Representative Lindsay Holmes. I would actually draw your attention to, it should be in your packet, section 43.52.080 of Alaska statute. There should be some statutes that were included in your packet. Actually, if you follow that page down a little further, you can see 43.52.099, the definitions section. And if you go to paragraph 2 of that section of law, it defines passenger vehicle as a motor vehicle as defined in 28.90.990 that is driven or moved on a highway or other public right-of-way in the state but does not include, and then it goes on to list a number of things it does not include. So I think you are right in your assertion that they are dealing with vehicles that are licensed to drive on the highway, not ATVs, not snow machines.
Okay, and thank you for that. And Joanna Bales is online. And Joanna, can you answer that in a definite way?
Yes, Madam Chair, for the record, this is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division. And the vehicle rental tax, the purpose of that was to collect tax on vehicles that were driven and licensed for use on public highways. So it does not encompass snow machines or RVs. But after some detailed look at the law, and we did get Department of Law to look at it as well, motorcycles, because they are licensed and driven on highways, are included currently in the definition of a passenger vehicle and are taxed.
Okay, and this bill then would take care of that.
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct. This bill would remove the motorcycle from the definition of a passenger vehicle.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions from the committee? All right. Nancy Hull with the Alaska Motorcycle Adventure Group, are you online?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. Good. I would like to testify.
Go ahead. State your name and your affiliation, and then go ahead and give us your testimony.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, Honorable Chairman Wilson and representatives. I thank you so much for scheduling House Bill 56 and providing me this opportunity. For the record, my name is Nancy Hull. That's H-U-L-L. I am the owner of Alaska Motorcycle Adventures in Palmer, Alaska. We've been renting motorcycles since 1994, so 2013 will be our 20th season. We feel very fortunate that we've stuck with it for the long haul. I support House Bill 56 to exclude the motorcycles from the 10% vehicle rental tax because the rental companies and Alaska tourism business have been impacted by this unintended consequence of the tax. To offset that high vehicle rental tax, our customers, they choose to rent for fewer days or they pass on coming to Alaska altogether, and that hurts all of Alaskan tourism. And I'll just give you an example, very quick example. We have a very limited rental season of just less than 90 days, so our rates are pretty high, usually averaging around $200 per day per motorcycle. So you take a customer that rents 10 days, paying $20 a day, their tax would end up being $200 for their 10-day rental. Now, where it's very, very punitive, and I find people back away from coming to Alaska, is when it's a couple, a husband-wife or a father-son, and then they're renting two motorcycles, so that family, instead of paying $200 for their 10-day rental, would pay $400. There's no tax cap associated with this, so it doesn't matter. They just continue to pay the tax. It is very punitive. And fortunately, our customers, because they ride and drive, they go to all these remote areas of our state that generally don't see the RVs or the cruise ship passengers. I mean, we have people regularly going to Weissman, Circle, Chicken, McCarthy, Valdez, Dead Horse, and so all of the tourism businesses in those remote areas benefit from them staying at hotels, buying gas, eating meals, restaurants, and those types of things. And also, these people, they all pass through Anchorage, Matsu, Fairbanks, the larger areas of the state, spending time and money in those areas, too. So I want you to help me grow my business, to continue to grow it by passing this House Bill 56 in this session in this year. You know, and like you were saying, in 2003, that's 10 years ago, we were omitted from the original discussion on this tax, and I know it wasn't an intentional thing, but because the lawmakers, the bill writers, the aides, or whoever handles these, they were just completely unaware that we existed. It's been a long, time-consuming process for us, these four tiny little motorcycle rental businesses, for us to fix this. So I sincerely ask for your support and possibly your sponsorship or co-sponsorship of House Bill 56. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. And I thank you so much for your time and your consideration to help me grow my business.
Thank you, Nancy. And I have a question. Over the years, when you started out, how many motorcycles did you have and how many do you have now?
Well, we started out with two in 1994. And this season, we're probably going to run 30,
wow.
30 to 5.
Wow, that does add up. Goodness sake.
Yeah, it does add up. And, you know, just to add something about the tax, you know, you talked about the ATVs and the snow machines, and we are so seasonal. Last year, I did a computation based on the complete tax that the rental tax brought in, and I think in 2011 that was $8.5 million that the rental tax brings into the state. Now, and with the motorcycles, because we are so tiny and it's a very limited season, our tax, well, I think was between $15,000 and $20,000 for all four of us together. And what that ended up being was it's less than one-tenth of 1% of that total. So it is a very minor amount.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony.
Okay.
Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? All right, we'll close public testimony then. And does the committee have any other questions or discussion? All right, then what is the wishes of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Isaacson.
I move the passage out of committee of House Bill number 56, version 28-LS0254/alpha, along with the fiscal note and the individual recommendations.
Okay. Hearing no objections, so moved. And House Bill 56 now will go on to the next committee, which is
Finance.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Good job, Lindsay.
Okay.
Taking that ease.
Take it. Yeah, we'll take it ease while we sign this. Fine. Now we will hear House Bill 94, Kahn and Nellie Miller Bridges. And Representative Isaacson, would you please state your name and present your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Doug Isaacson. I'm representative for House District 1. And with me is my staff member, Brenda Hewitt, who has helped me in the inspiration and the writing of this bill. So you have my sponsor statement, but I would like to read it to you because it honors two outstanding individuals from North Pole who have a statewide impact. And if you've not read it, you'll understand as I read it. With your permission, Madam Chair. Conrad, or Con, and Nellie Miller were some of the early settlers of the city of North Pole, arriving here in 1950. Con had joined the Navy after leaving home at the age of 15 and had served in China from 1927 to 1931. He worked on the construction of the Hoover Dam after a brief stint as a sheriff and a private investigator. He later re-enlisted in the Navy during World War II, serving in the South Pacific. Nellie was one of 15 children raised in Idaho Springs, Colorado, and married Kahn in 1938 at the tender age of 15. Like many of Alaska's early pioneers, Nellie and Kahn moved to Alaska in 1950 and had a whopping $1.40 in their pocket, and they were seeking a new beginning for their small family. Kahn and Nellie Miller built their first business, a clothing store, in Fairbanks. And Kahn traveled to rural communities to sell his wares. When he traveled, he often donned a red crushed velvet Santa suit, part of a stock, the stock the couple had brought north from a previous business. As they began to build their store in North Pole in 1952, a city which became incorporated in 1953, I might add, a child of a customer from Northway asked Kahn if he was building a house for Santa Claus, and the name stuck. The store became the Santa Claus House. Kahn and Nellie were known as Santa and Mrs. Claus, and their family store brought worldwide attention to the city of North Pole. And by the way, what I didn't put in here was that he is the one who actually brought the incorporation papers for North Pole in January of 1953 to Juneau to actually incorporate the city. The store has grown and evolved over time into the icon that stands today, including the world's largest standing Santa Claus, 42-foot, 900-pound statue that's outside the store and entices visitors from around the globe to celebrate Christmas year-round. Kahn was the longest-serving mayor of the city of North Pole, dedicating 19 years of leadership. I mentioned the fact that he carried the incorporating papers. He also served as North Pole's postmaster and civil defense director for 20 years, as well as serving as the fire chief. Nellie served on the local school board long before the borough incorporated and we had Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. She was also the postmistress and the town's magistrate and marriage commissioner. All those were the days. The Millers raised three children, sons Terry and Mike and daughter Mary Christmas Miller. Their two sons served in both the State House and the State Senate. and hold the distinction of being the only two siblings in the United States to have presided as the Senate president, or should I say the other body president. Terry Miller also served as lieutenant governor. And as we know, the Terry Miller Memorial Building opposite this one is named after him. For their commitment to Alaska and their role in developing the city of North Pole, it is fitting that the Chena Flood Channel bridges be named for these two distinguished Alaskans, which heretofore have not received any recognition. The northbound bridge number 1364 shall be known as the Nellie Miller Bridge, and the southbound bridge number 1866 shall be known as the Con Miller Bridge. And Madam Chair, that concludes my comments, unless my staff member Brenda Hewitt has anything to add, with your permission, and she does not.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the committee members? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for bringing us forward. The Millers are a great family in Alaska. Do you want the bridge to be named Conrad Miller or Con Miller or Conrad? Because we're going to name it and there's going to be a sign. So you want a Conrad, Con, or Miller, or Con? You think Con Miller gets it?
Through the chair, Mr. Representative Johnson, he has been known as Con Miller. I don't think anyone would know who Conrad Miller was, okay, except for his mother, who's not going to see it.
Right.
But that's a good distinction, unless we go Conrad Con Miller. And with your permission, Madam Chair, perhaps Brenda could speak to that.
Okay. Madam Chair and members of the committee, when I talk with my name is Brenda Hewitt. I am a legislative aide to Representative Doug Isaacson. In speaking with the family, they had suggested Con as the direction for the name. I realize that it's a nickname or shortened name, but that's how they felt that most people would recognize them.
Madam Chair, I just wanted, we're memorializing two great Alaskans, and just, you know, make sure the family don't want to come back later and want to change Con to Conrad. So Conrad slash Con, or however you want to do it. But just call that to your attention, because when they build a sign, it's the same to build it as Conrad Con or just Con. So whatever you want to do.
Well taken.
And Madam Chair, through the chair, Mr. Johnson, perhaps I think that might take a friendly amendment to perhaps state on Rags, quote, on Miller Bridge, that might be appropriate and remove all doubt.
I think that whatever the family feels the best I think we should go by.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we'll speak to Con Miller Bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. We have Steve Titus. He's the DOT director, and he's just there for questions. So if we doesn't look like we have any questions, Representative. Just a second. I can't even think.
Christ
Tompkins.
Rick Perry.
Director of DOT,
yes,
is online.
Steve Titus, would you have a question?
Northern Region Director, yes.
Okay.
Hi, Steve. I was wondering how many bills usually come through the legislature renaming pieces of infrastructure for people each year in the Northern Region.
Through the chair, Representative Chris Thompson. There's one, maybe two. Last year there was three that was merged into one. So it seems that there's some activity in that area just about every session.
Okay, thank you. And you want to state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Steve Titus. I'm the regional director for the Northern Region of DOT.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right. There's no one else online. And so we didn't really even open public testimony, but I do know that Mike Miller had stated that he was very appreciative and that the family would truly appreciate this honor. So that's pretty nifty.
And Madam Chair, for the record, you'll note in your packet that you also have a letter commending this action from Dr. Peter Marshall of North Pole.
All right. Do I hear any comments?
Are you going to open public and close public testimony, or are you just not going to do that?
And I mean, there was no one, so. Do I hear a motion?
I could do that. Madam Chair, I would like...
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move HB 94 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And hearing no objections, so moved. So House Bill 94, the Kahn and Nellie Miller Bridges, has passed out of committee. So having said that, we do have a meeting next Thursday, and we will hear from DOT on the state railroad plan. And so having said that, we will adjourn.